I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. Since 2009, HRN podcasts have been exploring the wide world of food, beverage, and agriculture. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
I'm Chava Periban, co-host of Agave Road Trip on HRN, here to talk about 818 Tequila. 818 creates their tequila using traditional methods at a family-owned and operated distillery in Jalisco, Mexico. From the blue agave they grow to their recycled glass bottle, 818 emphasizes the earth's importance in all they do. Their distillery runs on biomass and solar power, which means they don't rely as much on fossil fuels and are able to reduce their carbon footprint. Their labels, corks, and boxes are all certified by the Forest Stewardship Council as coming from sustainably managed forests. 818 is a proud member of 1% for the Planet, through which they support HRN as well as Sacred, my organization in Jalisco, where together we transform agave byproducts and water waste into adobe bricks that are donated to local infrastructure projects, like a local library in Zapotitlán de Vadillo. Visit drink818.com to learn more about their sustainability efforts and find 818 near you. 818 has been part of so many magical nights for me, and I hope you enjoy it as much as I do. 818 Tequila, imported by 818 Spirits, Manhasset, New York. 40% alcohol by volume. Drink responsibly.
This episode is brought to you by Wisconsin Cheese. There's a reason when you think of Wisconsin, you think cheese. Cheese is a huge part of Wisconsin's history and future. In Wisconsin, the state of cheese, the tradition of cheesemaking excellence began 180 years ago, before Wisconsin was recognized as a state. Immigrants traveled to settle in this lush, green hills of Wisconsin, bringing their cheesemaking traditions with them. These storied skills, combined with the freshest milk available, created a cheesemaking culture that is uniquely Wisconsin. Wisconsin's 1,200 cheesemakers, many of whom are third and fourth generation, continue to pass on old-world traditions while adopting modern innovations in cheesemaking craftsmanship. Find your next favorite cheese at wisconsincheese.com.
Welcome to HRN on Tour at the 2022 Food & Wine Classic in Aspen. I am Christine Sykes-Lowe, and today I am joined by Eliza Voss, Vice President of Destination Marketing at the Aspen Chamber Resort Association, or ACRA for short, part of the entity that produces many aspects of the event this weekend. Hello, thank you for joining me.
Thanks so much for having me.
So this is a busy weekend for basically everybody that lives here in Aspen, it feels like.
It sure is.
I mean, from tourism to the marketing and just people who actually just make it all happen. It's just an enormous tourism boost. So tell me a little bit more about your organization, ACRA. How is it comprised? And your exact role in the Food & Wine Classic.
Sure. So we are a 501c6 organization. It's a hybrid chamber of commerce and a destination marketing organization. So the chamber of commerce side is traditional chamber of commerce funded by member businesses. And then the destination marketing side is funded by a 1.5 of a 2% lodging tax, which is paid by anybody who stays in town, with the initiative to kind of manage and market to tourism.
And what was the beginning role of getting everybody involved in this event?
So this event was actually started by locals, Gary Plumley, who owned Grape and Grain, the wine shop over which still exists today, and two locals from Snowmass as well, Bob and Ruth Kevin of the Chez Grand Mare and Snowmass. So it started with about 300 attendees. At its peak, Food & Wine has now about 5,000 attendees, so it's grown significantly, but it was started by locals. Mm-hmm. And ACRA's involvement through the years has been the event management partner. So we're providing on-the-ground services to Food & Wine magazine and kind of liaising with the local businesses, municipal governments, et cetera.
I see. And am I correct in its 39th year? Is that correct?
Sorry, 39.
That's incredible. That I feel like that gives a lot of hope and kind of a history of what can be done with some people and an idea and everybody kind of chipping in and doing their part.
Absolutely.
So how have you seen it transform through the years?
It's changed, you know, in what is presented to the public has kind of slowly evolved. For example, this year, just the setup of the grand tasting and the seminars are pushed a little bit later. There used to be 3 seminars per day. Now there's 2, and the grand tasting times are just a little bit different. But it has kind of probably since the mid-90s been solidly the premier Food & Wine culinary event in the country.
Yes, and just like everyone else, it has been affected by COVID, just like everyone. So what were some of the measures you all took to kind of stay within line since we are, you know, we're at the tail end, but it's still there?
Yes. Yeah. So in 2020, the event was completely postponed into 2021. It has almost always been in a June date. In 2021, the date was pushed from June to September. I think that was just to allow for some more vaccine rollout, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so the capacity in the September 2021 event was cut in half. And that was just, you know, the probably most noticeable measure for COVID. And then, of course, the sides of the tents were open and there were some other kind of tactile measures to
right.
take place. And then even coming into this year, we are still not back at the 5,000 capacity. I think they're probably about 70 or 75% capacity.
Yes.
And that is also kind of to acknowledge that COVID, yes, is yeah. still here.
It's very much still here. I had the opportunity to actually spend a little bit more time today in the tasting tents area, and it was nice and spread out and lovely in the middle of a park, actually.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's really great. Is there anything programming-wise, as you're running around doing your thing, that you are interested in taking part in this weekend or that you've maybe hasn't been here before and you want to try it out?
You know, it's always fun being based in Aspen. There's also just like incredible foodie and wine talent that has come through here or had been based out of here. So I feel like we have some hometown heroes amongst us. So Sabato Sagaria, who used to be the master sommelier at the Little Noel Hotel, is back in town to do some of the seminars for Food & Wine. And he has, you know, his role has evolved. But it's always fun to see somebody that you kind of knew maybe at the beginning of their career,
yes.
Who was based locally and, you know, gets that direct connection with Aspen and the community, but they're here kind of as a foodie superstar. So that's pretty fun.
And I've heard this about this infamous wine cellar at the Little Nell.
Oh, yes.
So do you know anything about it personally? How many bottles they have or the history?
I have not had the pleasure of getting invited in there. So
I've seen photos
yes,
of it.
Exactly.
It's kind of like the Chamber of Secrets, mm-hmm. someplace you want to go. Well, maybe someday, right?
Yes. It's good to have goals.
So the saying so I've heard is that you come for the winter, but you stay for the summer. This particular event is proof of how wonderful it is to visit in the summer. But what are some of the other things visitors can enjoy in the area apart from skiing? Obviously, you know, you're in the mountains, there's hiking, but what are some of the things people are drawn to when they come here in the summertime?
Yeah, I think the proximity of the downtown core to just some of the outdoor amenities like mountain biking or hiking or even just walking, there's a plethora of trails in the area.
There were three. I was looking at the map, and there were literally, I think, three or four really good trails just on the, literally on the corners of the town.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's great.
So I think people come here, and they get to stay in a really lovely, you know, town, almost small city feel. Mm-hmm. But then they have such abundance of outdoor recreational opportunities at their fingertips, complemented by there's an incredible arts and culture scene here, which is, I think, probably what puts Aspen apart from other mountain destinations. It's mm-hmm. not just the outdoor recreation. There's a ton of cultural opportunities, whether it's the Aspen Art Museum or the Aspen Institute. We call it Opry Ski for the Mind. So you can get out there for a hike, and then you can go over to the Aspen Music Festival and school music tent and just listen on the lawn. So I think it's that kind of culmination of all of that wonderful opportunity to be outside, but also to enrich your mind. And that is really what the modern day founders of Aspen used to call the Aspen idea, which is that idea of the mind, body, spirit coming together and flourishing in Aspen.
Well, that doesn't sound too bad. I'm actually really excited about an event tomorrow, the Juneteenth event with Kwame. And I'm curious about the Aspen Institute. It's actually held where the grounds are there. Can you tell me anything about the history there?
Yeah, it's a beautiful space. It's actually designed by Herbert Bayer, who was an architect of the Bauhaus, which, you know, following World, or probably at the beginning of World War II, many of the Bauhaus architects emigrated from Germany to other parts of the world. And we were lucky that he crossed paths with Walter and Elizabeth Pepke, who brought him to Aspen to kind of help him design Aspen. But that campus, the Aspen Institute campus, is very much influenced by Herbert Bayer, the architecture, and then also just like the landscape architecture is all designed, you know, by Herbert Bayer and has that really organic feel to it.
And it's a large acreage.
It is.
How many?
I think it may be the widest part of this part of the valley.
Maybe even
really
800
beautiful.
Acres
yeah,
or something.
Really,
I mean,
spectacular.
It's huge. Well, I look forward to checking it out. I'm going to maybe explore and wander a little bit because I've been known to do that. But I want to find out what that is all about. So what are some of the other events on the, I know this is the premier event for Food and Wine. And speaking to your point about what Aspen has to offer as a town, you said arts and culture, obviously just the walkability footprint of it between all the restaurants and the cocktail bars and the coffee houses. And I mean, it's really quite nice. I mean, you really don't have to go far and you're right in the middle of something you want to be in the middle of. So, what are some of the other events and projects that ACRA is involved in throughout the year?
So we are actively promoting all of the Aspen arts and cultural institutions. So, for example, the Aspen Music Festival and School has over 300 live music events throughout the summer. That's spectacular. And then we have partnered this year. It's a fun event to bring back the Aspen Santa Fe Ballet, who was sidelined because of COVID. They're bringing back an event to Wagner Park, which is where the Food and Wine Classic is taking place right now. And that's called Bloom, and it's going to be active dancers on stilts. And,
oh, wow.
I mean, it looks very cool. So we're going to sponsor that event, and kind of that's as like a thank you to the community for sticking through with COVID. And then, you know, throughout the summer, there's just Theater Aspen has amazing Broadway quality productions on the side of the river. Aspen Words, Aspen Institute, there's just so much going on. It's almost overwhelming now that we're coming out of COVID. Everybody has all their programming back on, and you're like, oh my gosh, how am I going to get to everything that I missed so much?
And I think everybody sort of has that. Like, we're just coming out of the tunnel, sort of blinking our eyes, going, okay, so I used to do this? So is this what we used to do before a couple of years ago? And it's a great place to be.
I mean,
finally, you know, all these industries are being able to come back slowly but surely and, you know, hire and bring people in, and it's a great thing. So how can people follow you all if – if there's someone out there listening saying, I've never been to Aspen, I've always been curious about it, what sets it apart? Now they've heard it. How can they follow the events and maybe plan their trip?
Yeah, so on social, we're at Aspen Co., CO for Colorado. And then our website is www.aspenchamber.org.
And I have one last question for
sure.
you. You're a resident. You live here. You have a family. What are some of your personal favorite things to do, restaurants? And
my favorite restaurant is probably the Wild Fig. That's where we would go for a date night.
Mm-hmm.
And then Meat and Cheese is just absolutely
awesome.
I went
there last night. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That place is phenomenal.
It's really great. Wendy is the owner there, and she does such a wonderful job of, you know, hiring local people, but also showcasing local flavors and selling the market half of that business you probably
saw.
Yeah,
the setup, the structure of it was very interesting, and I loved their presentation. It was just very casual, but still a little elegant.
Exactly.
And very rustic. Yeah, I would highly recommend it as well. Well, thank you.
Of course.
Thank you so much for your time. Thanks for listening to HRN's coverage of the 2022 Food & Wine Classic in Aspen. You can listen to all of our coverage on our podcast, HRN on Tour. Find it on heritageradionetwork.org or wherever you listen to podcasts.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. Since 2009, HRN podcasts have been exploring the wide world of food, beverage, and agriculture. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
Hey, are you hungry? Well, you're in luck. Meat and Three is back for season 16. I'm Taylor Early, and we've got a whole new batch of reporters I am so excited to introduce you to.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Fisher.
Asha McElroy.
Sam Girardi.
Jessica Gingrich.
Hannah from Wisconsin.
I'm a swing dancing audio engineer.
I am a future registered dietitian nutritionist.
I'm from New York and I love rice and beans.
My favorite food of all time is a shrimp burrito.
I love watermelon.
We've also got a bonus podcast for you called Behind the Internship. Three of our reporters will take you along to show how they develop stories for this very show, Meat and Three.
Hi, I'm Danielle Flitter, a plant-based chef from Philadelphia, living in Mexico City.
I'm Sophia Hooper. I'm a bartender based in Portland, Maine.
My name is Addison Austin Liu. I am a chef and food journalist from Salt Lake City, Utah. And my favorite food is Peruvian.
Rice and beans.
Hand-drawn noodle soup.
So tune in to enjoy a square meal for your ears. And I hope you saved a little room for dessert.